Very much. Very much. I'm going to bring a message from this evening. I titled the message, The Mustard Seed and Leaven. Mustard Seed and Leaven. Our Lord Jesus was the wisest, the most powerful, the most glorious preacher that has ever owned God's, outside of God's earth. Gave more insight, exposed more hearts, and you know this book has been written about him, and we've read it for years and years and years, and men have pored over it for centuries, and yet the message is always new. No one's ever exhausted it yet. Just what he said. More books have been written about him and his sayings, and as we pick up his precious word, we see why. Because he could say a sentence, speak a parable, very few words in these two parables, and yet they're so full of power, so full of wisdom, so full of understanding, so full of instruction. And our Lord Jesus, he often used parables. And parables were just, in my estimation, the way I see them, the way I understand them, a parable is he takes an earthly thing, something that's earthly, that we can understand and identify with, and teaches heavenly things from those earthly things, and teaches spiritual things from those earthly things. Here's a mustard seed, sown down in the garden, grew into a tree. We know what mustard is, what mustard seed is, we know what leaven is. And he uses these things to teach us spiritual, heavenly truths. And one of these two parables, one is of a grain of mustard seed and its growth, and one of leaven, and it's what it does. And these parables, our Lord Jesus spoke them twice, two different times. You know, when our Lord Jesus was different people, he would use oftentimes the same messages. But they'd be changed just a little bit. He'd make more emphasis with one crowd over one thing than he would another. And he spoke these parables in two different places to do different crowds of people. In Matthew 13, he preaches the same thing, teaches the same thing. And there it was about the tininess of the mustard seed. Here it's about the growth of the mustard seed. And here these two parables, are both of them are prophetic. They tell what's going to happen. What's going to happen. And the mustard seed. Now let's look at this mustard seed. There in verse 18. Then said he. Now this is after he had healed the woman with the infirmity for 18 years. And after he had saved her and loosed her from all that infirmity and embarrassed the Pharisees and embarrassed all of his enemies. And it says there in verse 17, when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. They should have been ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So there was many who expected the kingdom of God when the Lord Jesus came, the Messiah came, to come with great power, great glory, with great pomp, great circumstances. The way of premillennial still is now, that when Christ comes to set up his thousand-year reign on the earth, he'll ascend the throne, make everybody bow down, and everybody will rule, and be a great, glorious kingdom. And that's what they wanted, that's what they expected, and that's why they all began to rejoice. Well, our Lord, he's going to tell them what the kingdom of God's like, exactly how it's going to grow. And the first thing we learn here is when he says, then said he, what is the kingdom of God like? Whereunto shall I resemble? Now, these are oratorical questions. It's like God says, who is the God like unto me? Who is the God like me? And that's what he said. What shall I make the kingdom of God look like? What is it like? What shall I use to resemble it and illustrate it? That's what he's saying. But he said, I'll tell you what, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew, and it waxed great, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Now, like I said, this is prophetic. Our Lord here is teaching us the progress of the gospel in this world. I mean, it's had a very, very small beginning. And when he says, unto what is the kingdom of God like now? The kingdom of God is the church. The kingdom of God is God's reign and his people on this earth.
Amen.
And where should I liken the kingdom of God? It's His church, His people. How's it going to grow? How's it going to flourish? Where's it going to come from? How's it going to do it? And you know, that's what our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and His disciples said, teach us to pray. And He said, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God is the church here. What should I like the kingdom of God? What should I like where I reign and rule in the hearts of men and women? Where shall I liken this? What shall I resemble it to? And I'll tell you something, the gospel beginnings were very, very small. In fact, you know, it says it's like a grain of mustard seed. Just a grain, one mustard seed. And that's what He says, small, one little grain. And that's what it was like. The Lord Jesus Christ in sowing the gospel. And He was the man who took and cast it into His garden. But let me say something about that. You know, over in the Song of Solomon, we consider the garden. So many times the Lord said, let me go into my garden. Let me go into my garden. Let me go into my garden. He says there in one place, His people's like a garden enclosed. And then over in Matthew 13, it says there that the grain of mustard seed is sown in a field. And the field is the Word. And our Lord Jesus Christ took this little grain of mustard seed, this gospel, this Word, and He cast that into the garden, sowed it in His garden, sowed it in the world. And we know that the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the King of the kingdom. He's the only one who can cause seed to germinate. He's the only one who can cause the gospel to grow. He's the only one who can cause it to flourish. He's the only one who can cause it to bear fruit. You can plant all the seed you want to, but if God don't bless it to germinate, and God don't bless it to bear forth fruit, it's not going to do it. It's not going to do. And then look what it says here. So Christ took this mustard seed, this gospel, the gospel, and it started out with a very small, just a grain of mustard seed. Small, one. And Christ is one. The gospel is one. One gospel, one seed, one sowing. Christ did that. And then He said, it's like a grain of mustard seed which the man took and cast into his garden. What's this? And it grew. It grew. The gospel's going to grow. It grew. Oh, the gospel at first just seemed feeble and helpless and powerless. First of all, because the Lord Jesus Christ is founder. He was born of a poor family, raised in poverty all of his life. And this one who cast in the seed, who did they Jews say he was? He was nobody. Was the prophet come out of Galilee? Has anybody ever seen anybody do anything or anything? Was the prophet come out of Nazareth? No good thing can come out of Nazareth. And yet his founder, the one who cast the seed, born in virgin, raised in poverty, raised in humiliation, and despised and rejected of men. And while he was in this world, he was poor. And his life, all his life, beloved, it ended up dying as a malefactor on the cross. How can something grow from a man who dies on the cross and treated as a common criminal? And then look at those that were first gathered around him. There were such men in number. He just saw still. And a handful of women followed him around. And when he left this world, and out of that first 12, one of them was a devil. And when he left this world and went back to glory, how many were left in that upper room seeking him and praying to him? 120. Oh, my. Very handful. Not many believed on him. And look at the first preachers. It says it grew, but look at the first preachers. So how could it grow like this? The first preachers were fishermen. Ignorant, unlearned men, tax collectors, publicans, whom the Jews hated and despised, all of them sinners, weak and failing, denied the Lord Jesus Christ, went back fishing, so slow to understand the things that our Lord taught us, and then it grew. It grew. A starting place, the gospel starting place, was in an obscure corner of the world called Judea. And still, a little old town in place over there. Well, governed in that time, it was governed by the Roman Empire. And yet it grew. His first doctrine, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he sent John the Form, his first doctrine in the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ called forth the enmity of the natural heart. I mean, he said, except the man deny himself and follow me, can't be my disciple. Except you repent, you will likewise perish. And oh, he said, beloved, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and violence taketh by force. He said, how can you believe if you see God of one another? And over and over and over, everything he preached, taught them, he called the Pharisees hypocrites. And oh my, the Jews saw that the sign. He wouldn't give them one but the sign of the prophet Jonah. The Greeks sought after wisdom, and he was too ignorant and too unlearned. Where did this man learn, never having learned letters? Where did he get his wisdom from? But under the Jews, he was a stumbling block. Under the Greeks, it was utter foolishness. And his first doctrine called forth the enmity, and it still does. Oh, they just wondered at the gracious words that flowed out of his mouth. And then he began to say, you know, there was many with us in Israel in Elisha's time, but Elisha's only sent to one. There's many lepers, but Elisha's only sent to one. And it says they got so angry at him that they wanted to cast him off of the mountainside because they understood his sovereignty, his electing grace, but he didn't know them nothing. Oh, and the gospel's enemies, oh, but yet it grew. The gospel's enemies were powerful. The high priest from the Sanhedrin, and they were many. They come from the highest to the lowest. They even hired people to lie on him who were against him and his gospel. And it started out as a mustard seed, and yet it grew. And yet it grew. Huh? And not only did it grow, but it was fresh. And waxed a great tree. And waxed a great tree. You know, over there, when they saw a mustard seed, that mustard seed will truly grow into a 10 or 15 foot high tree. Grow into a 10 or 15 foot high tree, it'd be 10, 12, 15 foot wide. It's tough. And then when the branches get hard and get stiff, the birds can fly into it. So not only did it grow, but it waxed great. When the first time it waxed great? Now look over in Acts chapter 2. It started waxing great. Now look at Acts chapter 2. Oh. Look what it says. Look what it says in verse 41. After Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the first gospel message after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says this, and they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It was great. Great tree. Great tree. Now look over in Acts chapter 4, and verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men, don't talk about the women, don't talk about the children, the number of the men was about 5,000. It was 8,000 in just a matter of a couple of days. Oh, it waxed great. In 40 years after our Lord's ascension, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas left Antioch and they began to preach. Philip went down to Samaria and they began to preach, and from there, beloved, in 40 years after our Lord's ascension, the known world at that time had heard the gospel. Churches were established. People were converted. And you can find Philippi, Galatia, Thessalonica, Titus, where he is at, Timothy, Ephesus. Oh, Colossians, over and over, Corinthians, all over Rome. That in Rome, the big city of Rome, church established there. people were converted. Sinners were saved by the grace of God. The churches began to grow, and oh, how it grew, and it was great. Now, there was persecution. They would get the apostles and beat them and whip them and down to every rich in the Lord's name again. And they would go out the next morning and start all over again. There was persecution. There was opposition. There was violence. Paul was stoned and left for dead. Beaten with many stripes. Put in stocks. Oh, there was persecution, opposition, violence against those who believed. Yet it spread. Yet it grew. It waxed green. In fact, it waxed great. But 2,000 years later, though that's not many of us, we're lodging these branches. And all the other it waxed so great that men turned from their idols to serve the living God. Huh? They cast their traditions aside and walked off and left them. Men were able to turn their back on their false religion, like the Apostle Paul, and said, I count him the dung, I count him the garbage, I count him the loss. Men left off their righteousness. Men left off their works. Men left off their words. Men, and they cast themselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all beloved, this went on year after year, in the city after city, country after country. And the faith was received and believed, and Christ was honored and magnified. And when a preacher would die, preacher after preacher was raised up and would die, and another one was raised up, and another one was raised up. And there were emperors who said, we're going to put an end to this Christianity. But it grew and it waxed great. King said, we can't let this King Jesus rule in this place. But King Jesus, beloved, ascended the throne of many hearts. And philosophers, all of them tried to stop it. When they had Paul on Mars, and they said, listen what this Babylon's got to say. Oh, but it grew. It grew, and it waxed a great tree. And you know why it waxed a great tree? Because Christ planted it.
Amen.
Christ gets all honor and glory by it. And then when you think it's just about stepped out and the light's gone, God raises up a man like Martin Luther, who goes and bangs on the door. And they said, we're going to kill you. And he lasted for almost 30-something years, and he never did get killed. He died a natural death with the whole Catholic Church after killing. And all beloved, men like John Calvin, John Knox, Huss, Mary, the Queen of Scots said, I want that man dead. But he lived. Oh, my. And there's William Tyndale. He says, we need to get the Bible. We need to get the Word of God into the hands of the common man. And beloved, because of men that God raised up, and because this tree is going to wax great, they have translated the Bible from Greek and Hebrew and put it in our hands where you and I can sit here and read the Bible. We're going to have to go to some cathedral someplace, get chained to a fence, chained to a desk, and somebody tell us what it means. We'll read it for ourselves. Oh, it waxed great. And you know why it waxed great? Not with a sword, not with bonds, not with hatred, not with enmity, not with power, but with words. Words, like our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the kingdom of God like? It's like a grain of mustard. Cast into a garden. And it began to grow in spite of those who had started in awe, the those who were behind it. And all beloved, it spread, and it grew into a great tree. And all beloved, listen. And then it says here, look where it says, watch this, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Now, I was reading Benjamin teach about this, and he said a lot of things about birds. And it would have been a message all of itself. He said, the Lord's people's like birds. He says, you know, they love the sun. And they get hungry. They need a place to shelter from the storm. Need a place to rest. And said, this great tree is a place for all of them. Said, when they get in the branches of it, they sing. When there's a storm, they get in the branches of it, they're safe. Huh? When they're hungry, they can lie there and they can eat. And then it says, but fowls. That means it embraces all men of every age, of every generation, of every nation. They come and they lodge in it. And all, beloved, that's what it is. The great works of men, they come to absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Like they did at the Tower of Babel, we're going to get to heaven. Did they get there? Who's the Tower of Babel right now? What about Nebuchadnezzar, the great city of Babylon? Oh, this is great Babylon that I've built. Who's Babylon at today? But not God's work. Started out with a mustard seed, and it grew, and it waxed into a great tree.
Yes, sir.
And we come and rot in the branches of it. And you know, beloved, let me show you this here. This was spoken of before. Look with me at Daniel. Go back to Daniel, chapter 4. This tree was spoken of before. And then coming to this Daniel chapter 4. You know, Zechariah mentioned, you know, despise not the day of small things. And that's what Benaiah says, you know. He says there one day, he said, if this day is not of God, it'll just wither away. Don't bother it. But if it's of God, you're going to be fighting against God. You can't prosper. Well, it was of God, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And it grew, and it grew. And all beloved, so don't despise the very small things. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 10, it says this. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. I mean, the dust that goes from one end to the other reaches from heaven to the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof rich, and it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heavens were on the bow thereof, and all flesh was fed. All God's people. Let me show you that one. All this spoken of before it ever happened in Psalm 80. Look at Psalm 80 with me just a moment. This happened. This was spoken of. Daniel saw that great tree. Saw the spread of the gospel. And that gospel, beloved, it does. Christ gathered men from heaven and earth and brought us all together in one place, and all of us eat from this blessed tree. In Psalm 80, in verse 8, look what it says. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, which caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. Oh, he planted this thing, and it grew. Started out as a vine, just little nothing. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Oh, beloved, so don't despise the day of small things. I mean, it don't. Men looked at Christ and said, he ain't going to mount to nothing. These ignorant, unlearned fishermen, they ain't going to mount to nothing. But look, the gospel, what it's done. In fact, I believe, and I'm like Mr. Spurgeon, I believe there'd be more people in glory than there will be in hell. Even though hell enlarges itself daily, and I'll tell you why I believe that. Do you think that God would give his son to die willingly, freely, and let his blood be shed, and let men be in glory than they are in hell? Now you think about that. Now you think about it. You think of all the people, all the infants, all the young children that have died. I saw in Jim Bird's bulletin a young woman in his congregation had twins born on Valentine's Day. One of them was stillborn, and the other one just barely. Hang on. That one, just like that. That's happening all over the world. Oh. Ain't that something? I can't prove that in scripture. I'm just telling you what I feel, what I believe. I don't believe God's going to let the devil. I'm doing. I don't believe that. And all right, let's look at this 11 now. Let's look at this 11. And he says in verse 20, and again, He said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Again, where shall I liken it? What shall I? What is the kingdom of God like? What's the church of God like? What's the people of God like? Well, it's like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. First of all, when you, people will look at this woman and they say, well, that's not, well, women's the one who bake bread. And if you interpret a parable, the parable of Jonah has one teaching, and the teaching here is what that leaven does to the meal. What that leaven. So women were the one who baked the bread. But anyway, the leaven is the power of the gospel in the hearts of men. The gospel grew, but it grows in men's hearts. And the word of God and the mystery of regeneration, it's like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So a woman took this and she hid it in the meal. She just took a small quantity of leaven and she put that leaven in those 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. And this leaven is the Word of God. This leaven is the Word of God and how it works in the hearts of the sinner. First of all, it's hidden. It's hidden in a man's heart. We don't know when it's put there. We don't know how it's put there. The Word of God is put there, but it's hidden. It's put in a man's heart. And that leaven, the gospel, there's 3 ways the leaven's used in the Scripture. And this is one of them. And I won't say the other two because... Well, one of them, you know, it talks about the leaven of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy. Then it talks about the leaven of malice and uncleanness. And then here it's used as the word, the leaven, as a word. And the power of the word is hid. It must be put in a man's heart. It's hid out of sight. It's hid where people can't see it. You know, when you put leaven in something, You can see the leaven in it. You see the effects of the leaven.
Yes, sir.
You see what it does to that meal. You know, you put a little in it, and it won't take much, and you'll see the effects of it. You'll see it start rising. You'll see it start manifesting the effects of it. But that's the way the Word is. It's put in a man's heart by the gospel, by the Word of God. And when the gospel, the Word, is it is put in a man's heart, and it's put in a man's heart, and how is it done? I don't know. It's a mystery. I do know this. It may just be a single sentence. It may be a verse of Scripture. It may be a particular message. It may be a particular preacher. It may be a particular verse of Scripture. It may be a word that somebody said. Somebody may rebuke you sometimes. It may be a kindness that a believer loses to another person. And sometimes one of these little things, for these little things, in our estimation, is the starting point that leaven put in a man's heart. And when it's put in there, it's going to begin to grow. And then the beginning of spiritual life, oftentimes it's very small. So small that you can't discern that it's even happening and it's unknown for a long time. Now how do we know that leaven's been put in our heart? How do we know that leaven, well, there's an effect of it. First of all, when it starts, your conscience starts bothering you. It never bothered you before. Then you start having a desire to hear. I want to hear more about that. I want to hear what he's got to say. And you start paying attention. Then you start reading for yourself. Then you have a desire to start praying. You start having some serious thoughts. And grace in the beginning of the heart of a man, that's a mysterious thing. Just like leaven can change the meal, that's a mysterious thing. How little leaven can change the whole structure and the whole nature of what it gets in.
That's right.
And the Word of God changes the whole nature of the man it gets in.
Huh?
And you know, when you put it in there, it starts out slow and it begins to grow. And all beloved, the work of grace. That's what this is. It's a work of grace. God takes the Word. He takes this leaven, the Word, the God, the gospel of the grace of God, and He puts it in our hearts. And where He puts it, where He puts that Word of God, it's a work of grace because it's by God's Word, by the gospel. It'll grow. It'll grow. It's like a little leaven. A little leaven, 11, and that's what he says. And here, in 3 measures of milk, so the whole was leaven. And when he puts it in your heart, you mark it down. Eventually, the whole man will be leaven. Eventually, the whole man will be affected. It starts out small. It starts out sometimes slow. Sometimes you can't even discern it. But yet, little by little by little by little, as it starts permeating the man, starts permeating and permeates his mind, it affects his mind. His mind, his understanding is enlightened. He begins to see things he never saw, understand things he never saw, understood, appreciate things he never appreciated before. And his conscience begins to cry out, I need some peace in my conscience. And his conscience begins to affect it. And his conscience, that leaven, gets in that conscience and shows him Christ. And I'll tell you something, beloved. You've got to have eyes before you believe. You've got to have an object for your faith to set itself on. And God enlightens your understanding. And when you have eyes to see Christ, faith comes when you see him. But you've got to see him. And that's what this leaven does. It takes and it begins to work in a man. And it makes his conscience desire Christ above all things. And then it works on the affections. It permeates the affections. It gets into the affections. It makes the man begin to love. It makes the man to begin to be gracious. It makes the man to manifest kindness and graciousness and love and things that he never has been before. And all it affects the will. Now he's willing. He's willing to listen. He's willing to be still. He's willing to come to Christ. He's willing to listen to somebody tell him the truth as it is in Christ. In fact, beloved, when it says it leavens the whole lump, it will affect the whole man. Everything about the man. Everything about him. That's why Paul says, you know, all things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Why? Because you are what? A new creature in Christ. A new creature. And oh my, you know what? We watch it. You know, it's a mysterious thing. I've watched people that I had every confidence in the world that they manifested the, that there had been some leaven for them. That the gospel, the seed had been sown. Just by the way they began to react to the scriptures, the way they began to react to the gospel, the way they began to react to the services, the way they began to enjoy the singing, the way they began to enter into the worship. And yet, it's never my place to tell anybody that they've been led and that they have that fruit. It's up to them.
Yes, sir.
To do it. And you're the only one knows. You're the only one knows whether love has been put in your heart, whether the seed has been sown in your heart, whether the Word of God has affected your person. You're the only one truly knows that. I've got utter confidence that most of you have been. Utter, absolute confidence. You know what? You come here and this is not the way. That takes a lot of grace. That takes a lot of affection. That takes a lot of love. Takes a lot of long-suffering and forbearance. And I bless God that if we'll just, that seed's been sown, that mustard seed, it's gone wrong. And that leaven, when God puts you in a man's, he hides you in a man's heart, in a little while, you'll start watching him grow. You'll start watching the effects of that leaven in him. Until that whole man is affected. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Our Savior, precious, precious Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for that mustard seed. Such small beginnings, and yet here we are, the fruits of it. That leaven that's hid in the heart, that Word of God, that produces faith, that produces repentance, that produces love, that produces that new creation. Father, we thank you for it. And we understand that it's in the hands of the Holy Spirit to do with it as seemeth good in His sight. We know and understand that the wind blows where it lists.
So cause the wind to blow where you will. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing that.